Hey, listen, we are talking and wrapping up this series of talks that we have done on living out of who you are. Our central verse has really been 2 Corinthians 5:17, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new, what does it say? New creation. Do you believe that this morning? I really want you to answer that question. Don't even answer it out loud, because I want you to answer it first and foremost in your heart before God. Do you believe that when you came to faith in Jesus in that moment, he literally remade you and you are a brand new person? You are a new creation. See, if you believe that, then you recognize that he rewired you. The minute you came to faith in him, he rewired you so that now your soul derives joy, pleasure. Your soul thrives from a different input now than it did before you actually came to know Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that you and I are actually in Christ, a new creation. So when we live out of who we are, live out of who he created us to be, our soul thrives like a fish in the water. But when we're not doing that, even though we're a Christian, we're kind of like a fish that is flopping around on the bank. Its soul asphyxiated. Our soul is starved for oxygen. And so a lot of folks kind of give Jesus a bad rap because they're not living out of who they are. And they decide, you know, following Jesus and church and reading my Bible and praying, it's not all it's cracked up to be. It's not all it's cracked up to be when you don't live out of who Jesus made you to be. I experienced that in my life. When I went off to college, I'd not really grown up in church, and so I wanted to make friends. I joined a fraternity, and I fell into the party scene, and I did all the things that my fraternity brothers were doing. And I'm telling you, I looked around, and they were having the time of their life. And I'm not like this little church kid over here because I didn't grow up in church, and yet I'm sitting over here, and I'm living with like this dark cloud over my head. And I'm talking about, I don't know where this came to me, but judgment of God stuff, you know, doom, wrath, hell, you know, like God is about to kill me. And I'm telling you, all my buddies are having the time of their life. And I'm over here just wondering why I think the whole world is a dark place and a foreboding place and something bad's about to happen. I couldn't understand it then, but now I realize what was happening. It was called conviction from the Holy Spirit. You see, when I was 9 years old in Salesville, Texas, my family started attending church for about a year. During that year, I heard about Jesus. During that year, I asked Jesus to be my Savior. And I believe during that year, I'm 9 years old, and Jesus saved me and made me a new creation. I didn't live out of who I was, but I was a new creation. And so I get to college, and I'm really not living out of who I am in Jesus. And all I sensed was conviction. And so I knew something had to give. So I quit the fraternity that I was in. And I decided, even though I didn't know who he was, I had to figure out who Jesus is and what in the world he wanted from me and why he was making me so miserable. And so I started seeking Jesus. And I didn't realize it at the time. I couldn't have told you, oh, I'm just trying to live out of who I am. I just started reading my Bible. I started attending a church. I got involved in the Baptist student ministry at East Texas State University. Somebody told me the other day it had changed its name. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But anyway, East Texas State University. And I'm telling you, I just started seeking Jesus and fell into living out of who I am in Jesus. Think about it. I lived out of grace. Yeah, I revisited my salvation and made sure that I had been saved by grace when I was 9 years old. I went and talked to the pastor about it and everything, and I kind of re-prayed the prayer just to cover my bases, but I do that every time I fly, you know, just cover my bases. But I can't explain it, and it wasn't a conscious thought, but I kind of moved from, Lord, how am I doing, you know, and I bet you're still mad at me and angry at me, and you're probably going to send me to hell, but I just kind of started living out of, you know, Jesus, how could you be so good to me, because you have forgiven me and received me, and I don't deserve to be forgiven or received into your presence. Grace, I started living by grace. Gathering, man, I started going to church there at First Baptist Church in Commerce, Texas, and I was a part of the gathering. and growing. I really did just start reading my Bible. I'm not all that social anyway, and I'd quit the fraternity. So, I mean, I'm just staying home at nights, and I'm reading my Bible. I'm praying, and you go, oh, you goody two-shoes. Okay, I'm a goody two-shoe then. But I was just staying home, reading my Bible, pray, and confessing sin, and asking Jesus to guide and direct my steps. I started growing by leaps and bounds. You talk about serving, giving time, talent, and treasure. I didn't know that I was giving, but I didn't have a lot of treasure to give, gave whatever I had. But I started serving and giving time and talent. I mean, I got involved in a tape ministry. This is before the internet and senior adults that couldn't come to church. We'd take a cassette tape. I know y'all are thinking, how old are you? 150 years old. And so we'd take tapes to them so they could listen to a tape of the sermon. I even drove a school bus that you know, picked up kids before church. Yeah, they did that. It's back in the 1850s. And so we did that. And I started passing out bulletins. Guess who came? First Wednesday night, she was in town to church. And I was there to give her a bulletin. You guessed it, Kimberly Andrews. And I wrote on the bulletin, your name would sound so much better if it was Kimberly Singleton. No, I didn't, but I wanted to. And I'm like, that is a gospel fox if I've ever seen one. And I am on her trail. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yeah, baby, here's a bulletin. I give you one. So I started giving and then going. I didn't know any better. They had a witness training class. I signed up for it. And I started telling my old fraternity brothers about Jesus and other people about Jesus. I started living out of who I am in Jesus, and I'm telling you, my soul began to breathe, and I experienced a joy and a peace that I had not experienced any other way. And so that's what I want for you in this sermon, in this series. I don't want you to just hear a sermon or check a box. I'm inviting you to embrace living out of who you are so that you can be like a fish in the water and not a fish flopping around on the bank saying, this Jesus stuff is okay, but it's not all that great. It's not all that great when you're not living out of who you are. And so we've talked about grace and gathering and growing and giving. And you remember all of those sermons, right? Okay. I knew you did. Thank you. You just didn't want to brag, and I appreciate your humility. And so we're going to talk about going today, going, living out of who you are. Do you know God wired you to go? And so we're just going to talk together a few moments. Read that about 30 minutes. About what does it look like to go? And let's start here. You know God wired you to love him and others. You know that, right? Before you answer, in case you want to argue the point, let me just read this verse. And he said to him, this is Jesus speaking, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor. You are wired to love God and love others. Your desire, you're wired to go and love others. Love God and then go and love others. What does it look like to love others? I'm going to suggest to you in this sermon that what it looks like to actually love others is to actually fulfill the Great Commission. Actually, what I believe, and I didn't read this in a book somewhere, so you better check me on this, because you need to be like the Bereans and study and see if what I tell you is squaring with the Word of God. But I believe this. The Great Commission is actually the fulfillment of the Great Commandment to love others. What does it look like to go and love others? I'm saying to you, I believe the Great Commission is actually the fulfillment of that Great Commandment to love others. Let's look at it and see if you agree with me or don't agree with me. It says in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. We're going to look at three things in this sermon today. Make disciples, baptize, teach. Because I believe that's the fulfillment of what it looks like to actually love someone else. First of all, make disciples. When it says go make disciples, a lot of us, we think of that as teaching someone. I'm going to go teach a fellow student. I'm going to teach a fellow coworker. how to follow Jesus. Now, we're going to get to teaching in a moment. Make disciples is not really talking about discipling someone. Make disciples is really talking about sharing the gospel with someone. Why do I say that? Because you become a disciple of Jesus at a moment in time. You become a disciple of Jesus at the moment that you hear the gospel and respond to the gospel with repentance and faith in Jesus and a commitment to follow Jesus as your Lord, your God, your Savior, your King. In that moment, you experience new birth. In that moment, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence inside of you. In that moment, you become a new creation. In that moment, the Spirit of God comes in and rewires you. And so when you hear make disciples, what I want you to hear is you were wired to go and tell somebody else the gospel. Tell somebody else the good news that Jesus saves, the good news that Jesus died for us all and loves us all and is not willing that any of us should ever perish. That's what we're wired for. Now, when you start thinking about the gospel, and I want you to lean in here because we're just on the first of three points. You're wired to go make disciples. You're wired to baptize. You're wired to teach. Hold the overall kind of theme that we're talking about in mind. But let's dive in here a minute on the gospel. When you start talking about you're wired to go make disciples by sharing the gospel, make sure that the gospel you're sharing is the gospel that Jesus preached. See, there are a lot of gospels that are preached, and I've preached many of these that I'm about to name for you that are true. They're not heresy, but they're incomplete. And my guess is some of you believe some of these gospels that I'm about to share with you, and it's a really good time to evaluate what gospel have you believed and what gospel do you preach. And here's one of the gospels that we tend to believe and tend to preach that is true but incomplete. You understand what I'm saying, right? I'm not saying it's heresy. I'm saying it's true, but it's incomplete. And one of those is forgiveness only. We tell people this, hey, listen, if you'll just pray this prayer, you'll go to heaven when you die. If you'll just ask Jesus into your heart, you'll go to heaven when you die. Is that true? Yes, it's true, but it's incomplete. There's more to the story than that. Another one is a social gospel. Hey, Jesus wants us to love other people, and so Jesus really wants you to help people who are in need. And the idea is if you help people in need, then Jesus is going to help you when you die and take you to heaven. Well, Jesus really does care about the broken and the needy among us. He is passionate about us caring for the needy. But that's not the complete gospel that Jesus preached. There's the prosperity gospel. It says Jesus wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. If you'll believe in Jesus, he'll make you healthy and wealthy and well, wise is optional, but he's really good on healthy and wealthy. He's going to heal you, and he's going to give you a lot of money. And so does Jesus want to bless you? Does Jesus want to? Absolutely, but that's still incomplete. It's not the whole story that Jesus preached. And there's also the consumer gospel, and the consumer gospel says, here's the deal. Jesus just wants you to be happy. If you follow Jesus, he's gonna make your life so happy. You're going to have a better marriage. You don't have a spouse. He's going to help you find a spouse. He's going to make sure that you don't struggle in life. There's no sacrifices in life. There's no temptation. Your life is going to be so good. Try Jesus. He's better than Buddha. And Jesus blesses. So that's true, but that's not the complete gospel that Jesus preached. And then there's a gospel that I tend to preach too, along with forgiveness only, is believe right. Hey, listen, it's really important that you believe these facts. Do you believe that Jesus is God, that he was born of a virgin, lived sinlessly? Do you believe he died, was buried, rose again? Do you believe that salvation is by grace through faith? Great, you believe right. You are orthodox. You are theologically sound. And it's this idea that if I believe the right things, it doesn't matter exactly how I behave. As long as I'm believing rightly. Is it important that we believe accurately? Yes. But that's not the complete gospel that Jesus preached. So what gospel did Jesus preach? I'm so glad you asked. Would you please open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark chapter 1?
I read this first in a book and I thought, no way, is that actually in the Bible? And I opened my Bible and I was like, wow, I didn't know that was in there. It's Mark chapter 1, starting with verse 14. Listen to these words. I'm telling you, you ought to highlight these words. You ought to underline these words. You ought to memorize these words. You ought to go back and reread these words at least once a week. You go, Gary, are you doing that? And I'm going, yep, I've done all of that. Highlighted, memorized, and go back and read it all the time. Why? Because of what it says. Listen to this. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the, say this word with me, what? So when we hear that Jesus came preaching the gospel and it goes ahead and tells us the gospel that he preached, we ought to be all ears and say, wait a minute, that's the gospel I want to be preaching. And Jesus came and preached the gospel of God. And listen to what it says. This is incredible. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. If you got the red letter, go on down a couple of verses to verse 17. Notice how Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Oh, listen. When Jesus came preaching the gospel, he didn't come preaching, hey, if you'll invite me into your heart, you can go to heaven when you die. Hey, do you realize you can make me your ATM? Hey, do you realize I came to make you happy? And if you'll just go with me over Buddha, you're gonna have such a better life. Now, when Jesus came preaching the gospel, he preached the kingdom of heaven has come. He said, here's the reality. There is the kingdom of this world and there is the kingdom of heaven. And you and I have to decide under whose rule we are going to live. And a lot want to live in the kingdom of this world because I get to be my own king. I get to be my own God. I get to do it my way. Frank Sinatra and me, I do it my way. And I don't bow before anyone. I don't take orders from anyone. I live independent and I do what I want to do when I want to do it and how I want to do it. And Jesus said, you got to understand, you can live that way, but you'll also die that way. And you will be eternally damned that way. But there's a kingdom and it's the kingdom of God. And in this kingdom, there's only one king and his name is Jesus Christ. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And everyone is going to recognize that someday. Some will recognize it now. Some will recognize it too late. But every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, is the rightful king. And we all ought to live under his good, kind, gracious rule. See, the kingdom of God has come. And our king, whose name is Jesus, has come. And here's what our king did for us. You remember when we took the Lord's Supper? He died taking our sin upon himself and enduring the wrath of the Father poured out on all ungodliness. And he was buried, but he rose again, conquering the grave, sin, death, Satan, and hell. And when we repent of our sin and repent of living independent of his authority over our life, when we believe in the one who came and died and was buried and rose again. And when we confess him as Lord, I confess, Jesus, you are my king and I will live under your rule and for your glory all of my days. When we do that, Jesus says, he forgives and he makes us a new creation and we are rewired and our soul derives joy and pleasure in doing the will of our King. See, this is so important because the kind of gospel you preach will determine the kind of disciple you make. You know that, right? And the kind of gospel you believe will determine what kind of disciple you are. And if you just say, you know, I just believe in that forgiveness-only gospel, or I'm going to preach that forgiveness-only gospel, invite Jesus into your heart, and then you'll go to heaven when you die. You know what kind of disciple you'll make? You'll make somebody who, a disciple who says, hey, man, I prayed the prayer. I did the deal. And now I'm going to go live my life my way. And don't talk to me about confessing my sin. Don't talk to me about church and attending church. Don't talk to me about reading my Bible. Don't talk to me about praying. Don't talk to me about repenting of my sin because I prayed the prayer and I'm going to heaven and now I'm just going to live my life the way I want to live my life. See, forgiveness only talks about conversion but not following. And if you preach a consumer gospel, then you're going to produce a disciple that says, Jesus, I'm so grateful you sacrificed for me. But then you say to this disciple, but Jesus wants you to sacrifice for him. You go, no. No, he sacrifices for me. Jesus came to make me happy. And right now, my marriage isn't making me happy. And I know God wants me to be happy because I believed in a consumer gospel. And that's the whole point, is to be happy. And so I'm going to leave this marriage and find another marriage that makes me happy. I know that people, old fuddy-duddy preachers, say, I shouldn't sleep around when I'm a student or I'm single. And you know what? But I want to be happy. And I know God wants me to be happy because I believe in a consumer Jesus. So I sleep with whom I want to sleep with when I want to sleep with them. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. See, the kind of gospel you preach will determine the kind of disciple you make. And what I'm pleading with you to do today is to embrace who you are in Jesus. You are a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, and you have confessed Jesus is your king, and your king is telling you, I wired you to derive joy from going and preaching the gospel, that the kingdom of heaven has come, that Jesus is the king. He died, was buried, and rose again, and if we will repent, believe, and follow him, he will save us and give us joy beyond our ability to imagine it. We are wired to go make disciples. But did you catch the next part of the verse? We're back to the Great Commission, which is the fulfillment of the great commandment to love others. It says, go make disciples, and it says, baptize. Baptize. Now, baptize means dunk, right? Immersion is actually what the word means. Baptizo, it means to immerse, to dip, to dunk. But I want you to think of that verse in a little broader sense, because we baptize folks into the body of Christ. What is the body of Christ? Aren't we all a part of the body of Christ? So when it says you're wired to go baptize, yeah, it really does mean that you're wired to go tell somebody about Jesus, and when they come to Jesus, to invite them to church and say, here, let me baptize you. And some of y'all are going, no, that's the preacher's job. No, us Baptists made it the preacher's job. Is this Great Commission addressed to every believer or only to a select few preachers? Everyone or preachers only? Help me out. Which? So who's responsible to baptize here? Everyone. You're responsible to go and tell somebody about Jesus, and then guess what? You get to bring them to church and dunk them. But don't just think about dunking them. Think about connecting them to the body of Christ. So when it says you're wired to baptize, what it's saying is you're wired to invite people to come and to become a part of the fellowship with you. Think about it. In your life group, there's caring that occurs. In your life group, there's teaching that occurs. In worship, there's just this opportunity to just raise your arms and just adore Jesus together. And by the way, would you help me to just thank our worship team? They're doing a great job of leading us, aren't they? And so guess what? When we come together, we get to worship Jesus. We get to hear a sermon. And so you get to go. You're wired to do this, to go and tell somebody, hey, listen, I am a part of a fellowship of believers where it's this opportunity to worship, where we care for each other. And a lot of Sundays when Gary's not preaching, there's really good preaching that just God speaks to me. And I would love for you to come with me. You're wired. That's why your soul rejoices. If you've ever invited anybody to church and they connect here and they get plugged in here and they're blessed here, there is something in your soul that says, God, you brought them here through me. And I humbly say, thank you, Jesus, for using me, right? But your soul rejoices. Final one is this. It says you're wired to go, what? Make disciples. That's share the gospel. Baptize. That's invite people and connect them to the body of Christ. And the final one is this. Teaching them how to observe all that I have commanded you to do. Teaching. God says he wired you, whether you knew this or not, he wired you to teach. just like he wires a parent to parent. How many parents have you seen that they're just like, I don't know what I can, I don't know what I'm going to do, especially the first child's on the way. I don't know how to do this. I'm not sure I know how to do this. I can't do this. I'm scared to death. And then the child comes and the parent just kind of figures it out. Every parent who's ever parented knows exactly what I'm talking about. And in the very same way, God wires us to teach others. I mean, think about a newborn child. A newborn child is born fully human. Yes or no? Please say yes. A newborn child is born fully human, right? But they don't know fully how to function as a human, right? They've got to be taught how to feed themselves. They got to be taught how to work. My goodness, they've even got to be taught how to burp themselves. I don't know why that keeps coming to my mind, but you know, come on. And that baby just goes, burp, and you're going, oh, that's such a good burp. That's a good burp. You're doing really good. That's the way you belt them out. You got to teach a baby how to function as a human being. You ever heard when somebody comes to faith in Jesus, they are born again? They're a newborn babe. And so just because they're fully a child of God doesn't mean they know how to fully follow Jesus. And so God said, guess what? I've surrounded you by someone who's going to teach you how to follow me. And guess what? It's not just the preacher. It's you, if you're a follower of Jesus. And so here's what I want to ask you. How are you doing? How are you doing at living out of who you are? How are you doing it? Going and making disciples and baptizing and teaching others? See, as I ask that question, most of us grade ourselves on the curve. Do you do that? I do it. You ask me, how am I doing? I'll tell you, I'm pretty good, I think, because we grade ourselves on the curve. But you don't have to grade yourself on the curve. You want to know how you're doing at living out of who you are when it comes to going? Just ask yourself three questions. Make disciples. Who have you talked to about the Lord lately? Who have you shared the gospel with lately? Baptize. Who have you invited to church lately? Teaching. Who are you currently teaching how to follow Jesus? Who are you teaching? Let me tell you, in my own life, I'm discipling three guys right now, and I discipled a couple of guys on Wednesday morning, one on Wednesday evening, and I'm telling you, on Wednesdays, my soul thrives because I'm teaching, I'm seeing growth. I'm seeing maturity. I'm seeing so many incredible things. I'm building relationships. I'm building friendships. I mean, just this last Wednesday, I was thinking, okay, what did I see transpire? And one of the guys that I'm working with, man, I was going over the kingdom gospel. Everything I just shared with you, this is all a repeat for him. And he's just leaning in. And I thought for a minute he was leaning in to ask a question. And so I kind of stopped and he's going, no, go on. And I'm like, I love you, man. I wish everybody I ever taught, preached to would just be leaning in like, oh, I don't want to miss a word. Just my soul, just, ah. Another of the guys just said, because I asked, what have you heard God saying to you lately? And he just said, you know, what God's really been challenging me with is I've been more concerned about what others think about me at work than what God has called me to do at work. And I'm like, that's some profound stuff. Another guy that I'm working with, just this past Wednesday, I'm like, okay, what are you hearing God say? And he's kind of talking along and he goes, you know, if I do this, if I actually start teaching, and he catches himself and holds up a hand like, oh, please no lectures, preacher, man. Come on, stop. Okay, when I do this with someone else, and it dawned on me, he's already moved from if I do this to when I do this. And I'm just like, this is amazing. Your soul thrives when you go tell somebody, hey, I love Jesus. And I want you to know Jesus loves you too. When you invite somebody, hey, I'm a part of a fellowship and God is just blessing me there. And I know God would bless you too. And your soul thrives when you come alongside someone else and you say, hey, I'd love to just teach you how to follow Jesus like I'm following Jesus. You go, that's so egotistical. No, it's not egotistical because your king told you to do that. Your king told you you're wired to teach someone else. And so that's what I'm asking you to do this week, to live out of who you are. How do I do that, Gary? Talk to somebody about Jesus. Just tell them, I love Jesus. Just want you to know. Love the Cowboys, but they're not playing today. So just want you to know I also love Jesus. That's all I had to say. And then invite somebody. Hey, would you ever want to come to church with me? And then find someone that you could just come alongside and say, hey, would you be willing to meet with me and we could just kind of figure out together how to follow Jesus more faithfully? If you're going on any of those, you know, hey, I don't know how to do that. Listen, at the Next Step Room, we'd love to meet with you. We'd love to talk with you. We'd love to share with you how you can go and make disciples and baptize and teach. As a matter of fact, in the Next Step Room, Carl Couch and Fred Henninghausen, two of the guys in our church that are just excelling at this, they're both going to be in the Next Step Room, and they would love to answer any questions you have about how do you teach someone else? Is there curriculum? Is there a process? And trust me, the answer is yes and yes. And they would love to meet with you and talk to you. If you want to know more today about becoming a follower of Jesus by repenting of your sin and saying, Jesus, I believe in you, and Jesus, I'll follow you as my king. Listen, come to the Next Step Room. You want to begin the process of membership, come to the Next Step Room. You want somebody to pray for you about something today, come to the Next Step Room. It is just right there, and I'm going to be there at the end of the service. God bless you for being here today. I'm going to pray. Chris Pierce is going to come, and he is going to dismiss us. Lord Jesus, we love you, and we want today to live out of who we are. And Lord Jesus, we want to be used of you to bring others into your kingdom. We want to be people who really do go. Move us in that direction. We pray it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.